This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Some 2 weeks ago, Yemeni President Abdul Rabu Mansour Hadi and his cabinet resigned in protest against a rebel force which had taken control in the capital Sana'a, put him under house arrest and curtailed his powers. The conflict grabbed international headlines in large part because it has put the country in a constitutional void. Now, Yemen seems far removed from Malaysia. In fact, many people will think that this is not an issue for Malaysians. But Yemen is the destination for many of our citizens seeking a religious education. Is the conflict affecting them? Zain HD is a social entrepreneur, in fact a regular on BFM, who now lives in the city of Tarim. It's 600 kilometres away from the capital Sana'a.
I think some people need to know what Yemen is like, because you cannot understand it as, say, maybe Kuala Lumpur and Singapore and Jakarta and London. It's a different society, because you're talking about a society that at least has some traditional elements. Like, you know, some areas are still controlled by tribes. So people when they try to imagine Yemen or the south or whatever, you need to really look at it from a very different lens. Previous conflict did spread elsewhere. There's been drama since the Arab Spring. So during the Arab Spring, you did see a burst of conflict. This conflict that you're observing now, it's high-level conflict. That means big people, executive power. But on a weekly or monthly basis, there's also conflict on the ground between tribes. So those are things that happen on the ground, and those are things that may not spread. So just like the executive power conflict that you see now, it's within the political circles, and that happens, which is the center, is Sana'a. And there are a few key stakeholders that are involved, but the country at large is not. The masses don't see that way. It's a few groups like the Houthis, the Ahmar tribe, within those people, you know.
Now, over 700 Malaysians live in various parts of Yemen, mostly as students. According to Zain, they are removed from what's going on in the capital Sana'a.
What I've come to notice is that small spark in Yemen is like a bushfire smoke elsewhere or in some parts of the world. It's seen as a very big deal. But in most cases, I hear news about Yemen from Malaysians in Malaysia through WhatsApp or email or whatever. But you hear more talk about the flood on the east coast of Malaysia than you do about the problems in Sana'a. I don't think there's a concern, because it doesn't really affect most parts of the country. There are people still living in Sana'a, and everything is, from what I understand, business is as usual. Just that there's no executive power in place. It has to do with the history of Yemen. I mean, this place and other places around the world, for the past, 1,000 years, they've had conflict, all varying types of conflict in varying regions. But lately what you're seeing in the news is the North within themselves. And that's number one. The second reason which I think why especially Malaysians are removed from it, because the vast majority of the Malaysians here are students. I mean, if you're a student, if your school closed down, I mean, then you're affected. But if you're a businessman, if there's a conflict or there's political unrest, instability, okay, then you're probably likely to be more affected. But because you're a student, as long as your school is running, you're fine.
So why has the media given so much attention to the Houthi coup? Or could it be due to Yemen's strategic value to the US? Or is the situation, in fact, much more serious than Zain experiences it? Bara Siban is a Yemeni activist for an international human rights organization called Reprieve, based in Sana'a. He paints a very different picture of the current crisis.
The situation in Sana'a actually broke down after 2 days of clashes last week between the Houthi rebels. This is an armed group coming from north of the country, and the government forces. The results of the clashes resulted of the Houthi rebels taking control of the presidential palace and the president's residence. Now the president and the prime minister and a number of high-level officials are under house arrest, waiting for the discussions to conclude. The result of the clashes led to the government submitting their resignation, and only a few minutes after that, the president himself submitted his resignation. The political climate in Yemen, because it's living in a transitional period after 2011, what's so-called the Arab Spring, resulted in having one president and not having a vice president who can take the responsibilities in the case of the resignation. The parliament in this case should have discussed the resignation of the president, yet they were not able to meet because half of the parliaments were coming from the south. This is where the president come from, boycotted and refused to attend the parliament sessions. Yemen at the moment is living in what's called a constitutional void. We don't have a president. nor a government, and the parliament is not able to meet to discuss these resignations. The situation also doesn't seem as helping into concluding, into holding an election anytime soon. And the tensions of what happened in Sana'a resulted in spreading in other provinces around the country.
At the center of the conflict is the Houthi movement. It has undergone dramatic transformation since its emergence a decade ago.
The Houthi as a group or as a movement started in 2004, or at least no one knew about them before 2004. It's a Shiite group who, first of all, started their movement as a pure ideology movement before it started spreading in other places of the country. But by time, the former regime launched 6 wars against the Houthi movement. The result of the 6 wars that more people were more sympathetic with the movement and more people joined the movement, and actually the Houthis became stronger. In 2011, because of the revolution, they were able to come to Sana'a and express their opposition against the Saleh regime, but no one expected that the Houthis will turn into a very violent armed group who would start military actions and taking control of cities one after the other. Right now, of course, there are many accusations about their link with Iran. Their leader is very much trying to imitate the shape of the Hezbollah in Lebanon leader, Hassan Nasrallah. He doesn't appear to the public. They try to create this image and the circle around him where he only speaks to the people via TV recordings. And until now, many people still wonder, what does the Houthi really want? The main issue with the Houthi is that they, after 2011, they started a series of alliances with members of the former regimes and tribesmen who made it easy for them to take control of cities. And until recently, they usually used to say that they didn't have any problem with the central government. They don't have any problem with President Hadi himself. They have only some issues with some influential figures within the capital. But by time, of course, that appears to be not the case. And as we're seeing, Houthi change into a movement who are trying to swallow the whole country. Fortunately, more people now are fearing that the Houthi's actions might lead into more violence in the country in the long run.
Like many countries in the region, Yemen was affected by the Arab Spring of 2011. Now, will the current political situation lead to reversals of gains from the Arab Spring?
The situation in Yemen and the country seems to be very big for the Houthis to take control. It seems that they've reached their limit, that they cannot enter into new territories or new cities. The only solution that I'm seeing from my point of view is reaching a political resolution between the different parts, a resolution that would ensure that the Houthis would pull out their armed presence, at least as a first stage, as a sign of goodwill from the main cities, in order for the government to start performing and go back to its daily matters. If that didn't happen, unfortunately, we might see a long-run circle of violence that no one will be able to control at the end of the day, nor the Houthis, nor the government, no one. The solution is that the Yemeni people have worked on a current constitution that is ready for referendum and to push forward to a coming election so we have a more representative government. I think that's the only solution we have at the moment.
That was Bara Saban, a Yemeni activist for an international human rights organization called Reprieve. Earlier, we spoke to Zain HD, a Malaysian social entrepreneur, a regular on BFM. In fact, my neighbor, who is now a student living in Tarim, in the southern part of Yemen. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.